Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we'll continue examining the third mark of a sound preacher on the Beacon Broadcast today. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, May 17. And may I remind you that we are dependent upon the gifts of God's people to remain on this station. You remember Paul has talked about false teachers in the first part of chapter 3 in 2 Timothy. And then he contrasts Timothy, a faithful preacher of God's word, with the false teachers, and in doing so, he gives a list of qualities that apply to Timothy and therefore apply to any true teacher, preacher, whichever term you prefer to use, of the Word of God. We find that in 2 Timothy 3:10. Paul says, "But you, Timothy, in contrast with the false teachers, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, and then this word, purpose." You have followed my doctrine. That speaks of the first mark, that a sound preacher is one who follows other sound preachers. And mark number two is wrapped up in that same phrase, and it is that he preaches sound doctrine. If a man is a sound preacher, obviously he's going to preach sound doctrine, and so that's a pretty objective thing that you can examine. To find out if he follows sound men, you'll just have to ask him. Who do you follow? Who do you like to listen to? Who do you read? Who are the preachers that you draw help and strength and inspiration from? Ask him. That's the only way I know to know. But of course, the second one, a sound preacher preaches sound doctrine, is something that needs to be evaluated very carefully. When men are brought to a church for the purpose of candidating, is the word that is generally used, to fill a pulpit vacancy, they are inevitably asked to preach a sermon. It's usually called a trial sermon. I think many times a decision is based upon that one sermon. I would advocate that you listen to more than that. And in this day and time of electronic media, it is likely that you could be able to get hold of a good many recorded sermons by the man that you have in mind, and it would be well worth your time to listen to them carefully. Maybe divide them up among the leaders in the church and say, I'll listen to these four or five, you listen to these four or five, pass them out. Give them to a number of people so that you're not just getting one sermon. Almost anybody can produce one good sermon and preach it, but how does he preach as a regular matter, week in, week out? Find out. And as you're listening to these sermons, be listening for doctrinal content. Because if he's a sound preacher, he'll preach sound doctrine. If he's not preaching sound doctrine, either what he's saying is erroneous, that of course is a red flag flying, but even if he's not preaching much doctrine, that should be a red flag flying. Certainly a big yellow one. A big caution flag. Why is he not teaching God's word? That's the primary responsibility of a pastor. He has to have an aptitude to teach because he's supposed to feed the flock. He's supposed to preach the word of God. Why is he not doing that? Too often, these decisions are made upon personality. I like him. And yeah, that one sermon that he preached was pretty good. Let's invite him to come and be our pastor. Whoa, 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 whoa. You better examine a whole lot more closely than that. But then the third mark is that he lives an exemplary lifestyle, and that, of course, is found in the phrase manner of life. Paul said to Timothy, not only have you carefully followed my doctrine, but you have followed my manner of life. You have lived the same kind of life that I, the Apostle Paul, have lived, a life that is given to Christ, a life that is holy in a biblically defined sense of that word. And to find out whether a prospective preacher, teacher fits that category or not, you're going to have to learn something about his life, his testimony, in the community where he has been living and ministering prior to the time that you have met him. And you're going to need to be sure that you're dealing with a man who is willing to be inspected and invites inspection, a man who is transparent in regard to his life. Beware of the man who hides behind an organization. Beware of the man who secludes himself in his private life from others. Now, I full recognize that preachers need a certain measure of privacy. I hope we all agree on that. Sometimes a preacher lives in such a glass house that he really is desperate to just get away and have some privacy, to be alone, to have some time with his wife. Some preachers are in a situation where that's very, very difficult. Sometimes, for example, if a man lives in a parsonage right next door to the church members may feel like they're just invited to drop in any day, any time, any hour of the night or day. And there may be some pastors who actually encourage that, and I don't want to interfere with what a pastor wants to do, but many times the church members have the idea, the church owns the parsonage, it belongs to us, not to him, and they treat it just like the church building. They feel free to come to the church building when they have anything they want to do, and they feel just as free to come to the parsonage. It's our parsonage. Well, how would you like it if everybody else in the church felt free to just descend upon your house any hour of the day or night and just walk in and inspect whatever they wanted to inspect, do whatever they want to do, treated your house as if it belonged to them? Well, you say, the parsonage does belong to us. Well, the pastor needs some privacy. Okay. That being said, I go back to what I said earlier. Beware of a teacher, preacher, pastor who hides himself from others. Beware of the man who is inordinately private. You can go to an extreme in either way here. Every pastor needs some privacy. He needs some time alone. He needs some family time. He doesn't need to have his house treated as if it is a public building for anybody to come whenever they want to. You ought to treat his home and his family with the same respect and courtesy that you would expect others to treat yours. But beware of the man who hides himself. I've known pastors who removed themselves so far from the church and basically made their house off limits. You don't come here. I've got to have a place where I get away. This is just for me. This is just for my family. This is my private area. I've got to have some privacy. Well, we all have to have some privacy, but a preacher is a Christian, too, and his home belongs to God, first of all and foremost, not to himself. And his house, his home, like every Christian's home, ought to be utilized as a tool of Christian ministry, and a preacher ought to be inviting people into his home for the purpose of ministering to them, for the purpose of being able to better minister to them, to get to know them better so that he can minister to them better. There are a lot of reasons why pastors ought to be inviting people into their home on a regular basis, And one of them is right here before us in this text, so that people can examine his life, examine his family, examine his home, know what he's like the 6 days of the week that he's not in front of them in the pulpit. Because it is important that his manner of life be a godly manner of life. And if there's no way to tell, then that should be a caution flag waving wildly in the wind. You see, there's more to solid Christianity than sound doctrine. There's sound doctrine, and then there's sound living. There's, as somebody put it, orthodoxy, and there's orthopraxy. The orthodoxy is the sound doctrine. The orthopraxy is the practice of a sound life, a holy life, a godly life, a good life. You'd be surprised at the number. I hope it's not a large number, but still there are a number of ministers who really have a very unexemplary home life, unexemplary marriage, unexemplary relationship with their children. And yet, it can be carefully concealed, like church members try to conceal that as well. Sometimes you find out that church members who seem to have everything together, they kept up a pretty good front at church, really had a shambles of a marriage and home in their family life. Eventually, of course, that will always come out. When a pastor is in the same situation, and pastors are people too, and sometimes they're in the same situation, and when pastors are in that situation, it will eventually come out. But you see, when it eventually comes out, it comes out usually to great damage to the church and to many of the people in the church, and particularly to young people in the church. Oh, how sadly churches have been damaged, in some cases even destroyed, because of a pastor who did not have a good marriage, who did not have a solid home, but everybody, wife and children, were carefully schooled to keep up a good front in the presence of the church. It wasn't reality. It wasn't what was there, what people saw in the family on Sunday and what was going on in the home in the week were two entirely different things, but they didn't know that. So I'm just saying to you that according to Scripture, home life is very important. Personal life is very important. This is one of the marks of a sound teacher, that his manner of life is exemplary, and there has to be, and we're not talking about perfect, for goodness sakes, any more than any of you have a perfect life, but it's got to be exemplary. It's got to be the kind of life that you can say, learn from me, follow my life, and you'll learn how to live a good life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. So every preacher, pastor, teacher ought to be able to say the same thing. And people who are looking for a sound teacher need to examine that to be sure that what is going on in private matches what is being said in public. Sound doctrine, good. Now, what kind of life does he live? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.